Wow. I hope that you have experienced the presence of God in this room this morning, because I believe he is here to speak to you today. I believe he wants to minister to you wherever you are today. And it's my hope that as we listen to God's word, you would ask his spirit to give you wisdom, to give you counsel, because that's the promise he's going to bring to you today. So let's pray and we'll dive into the word together. Father, we love you. And I do ask right now, God, that you would download your mind, your heart, your discernment, your spirit into ours. That, Father, as we go throughout life, there are a lot of decisions to be made. There are big decisions, little decisions, life-altering decisions, and some, God, that are just the daily routine that lead into character habits and patterns of our life. And so, Father, I pray that you would shape and guide each part of our life as the wonderful counselor. So, Father, we trust you this morning. We look to your word. I pray, Father, that you would help me to get out of the way and that the Spirit of God could speak to us in this room in a very real way. It's in your name we pray. Amen. So the Christmas season has officially arrived, and I thought it'd be fun this morning to get things started with a little Christmas survey, see if you could participate in this with me. We'll do it by kind of show of hands. Raise your hand this morning if you already have all of your Christmas shopping done. All right, raise your hand if you despise the people who just raised their hand. If you're like, I don't like that at all. Raise your hand if you've ever re-gifted a Christmas gift. Raise your hand if you're sitting next to the person whose gift you won't do that, will you? Raise your hand if you did it, like, you know, in the same season. Anybody done it this year? Like, you got something at Thanksgiving, you're like, this is going to mom, because I don't. My family always gets me Jesus gifts. I don't know what that's about. Probably because I'm a pastor. I have a sister, Tabitha. I love her to death. She practically raised me. But she always gives me, like, these Jesus gifts. And I'm like, I got enough, like, trinkets of, you know, the nativity scene. I get enough of that. So anyways. No, just letting you know. Anyways, I've said too much. How many of you are nervous about seeing certain family members at Christmas? You're like, man, our family's like a bad Maury Povich episode. Here's a tip. Here's a thought I had this week. What if they're nervous to see you? Like, what if they're at church somewhere, like in Hamilton, and the pastor's going, how many of you are nervous to see your family? And they're thinking about you when they raise their hand. You probably wouldn't like that. Raise your hand if you prefer online shopping. Who's an online shopper in here, right? What about who likes to go into the store? I like to go in the store too. I know it's busy, but I like to see things and try things on. How many of you, this is the last one, how many of you have a gift that you're really excited about giving this year? Something that's special to you, you're excited. Good. Christmas is a time where we think about gifts, right? And so what we're doing with this series over the next 4 weeks is we're going to look at the greatest gift that God has given to us, and that's the gift of his son. And we're calling it Unwrapping Jesus. And it's centered around one of the most famous prophecies from the book of Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 9. If you don't know anything about the prophets in the Old Testament, Isaiah is like the GOAT, the greatest of all. I mean, he's the major, the best prophet. And here's why. Almost all of the prophecies about the Messiah's nature and the kind of person he would be come from Isaiah. Now, there's a lot in a lot of the other prophets as well, but Isaiah is just full of wisdom and riches about who Jesus is. And so we're going to look at Isaiah chapter 9 at a prophecy together. But we're going to start in chapter 7 because the prophecy actually begins there. It says this, "Therefore, the Lord himself will give you a sign. The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will call him Emmanuel." That name means God with us. Let's jump over to chapter 9, verse 2. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned." Jump down to verse 6. "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Verse 7. "Of the greatness of his government and peace there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this." What a wonderful passage. Right off the bat this morning, I just want to point out one observation to you. Names are very important in the Bible. Names are very, very important. And we know this to be true. I'm around a lot of like expecting or just had a baby or really want to be expecting people right now. My small group is full of moms who want babies. And so I'm around a lot of people who are picking out names for their children. And that's a really difficult process. How many of you moms had a hard time deciding on a name? I've got a couple of friends in our small group who said something to me about picking out a name that I never thought about before. I said, so what's the name? And they told me the first name. I said, well, what's the middle name? And they said, well, we're not telling anybody that. And I said, well, why aren't you going to tell anybody that? And they said, well, we don't want that, like, we already spent so much time trying to decide on this name. We don't want that, like, are you sure about that look? That it's going to make us, like, go back into, like, spending hours trying to decide on a name. So I kind of thought that was pretty wise. Like, we're not going to share it with you because we've already racked our brains and we don't need you wrecking what we already did with your glances. Are you sure about that? So names are hard to pick out. I know people who they make lists and they have all of these different names. And then you finally choose one. And that's kind of a sticky thing too, because you go, what about Felicia? And you're like, oh no, I worked with a Felicia and she was awful. I'm not naming my kid after Felicia, right? Or like, what about Craig? I dated a Craig. We can't have no ex-boyfriend Craigs around my house, right? Names are hard. Does anybody know what the top boy names in 2018 were? This is according to the Today Show, so this is factual research. Does anybody know at the top? Shout out some names that you think might have been in the top. What was it? Jackson? Hey, somebody likes that. There you go. No. Here they were. Number three. These are really unique names. Jasper was number three. Jasper. Number two, Milo. I like that name. And number one, Atticus. How about that? A little Atticus Garmany. What do you think about that, Larna? You like that? You like that? What about girl names? Anybody top girl names? Isla. That's a cool name. Not in the top. I like it though. Isla. The top girl names, number three was Cora. I really like that name. That's a neat name. Number two was Amara. And number one was Olivia. Olivia is a sweet name. I got some friends named Olivia. But you got to be careful what you name your kid, don't you? Because they're stuck with that for the rest of their life. Like, they're never going to outgrow that. And some kids get bitter when they get older because they're like, why did you name me this? I heard this week, does anybody know who the actor Rob Morrow is? Do you know who what his daughter's name is? It's Two. Two Morrow. That's his child's name. And they have to live with that for the rest of their life. I read one author this week. He said, the name of a man is a humbling blow from which he never recovers. So you can think about that when you're picking Tomorrow and Atticus. My name is Jacob L. Michael Garmany. Jacob L., no period, Michael Garmany. Growing up, I hated the L because everybody would be like, why is that L there? And I really didn't know how to answer it succinctly. And my brother would call me Jacob Bell a lot, like Jacob Bell, and that annoyed me to death. So I hated the L, but as I got older, I started to like the L because the L is actually there for my grandparents, Lois and Luis. Instead of naming me after one, they just put an initial there for both of them. My grandpa Lois, he's still alive. He is 98 years old and he is a fireball. He still eats cheeseburgers and drives his own car. And I don't think he's ever going to die. I mean, he just is going to live forever. He's Elijah. God's going to take him home in a chariot. But I'm named after him, and he served in the Air Force during World War II. There's some cool pictures of him in his Air Force gear. My grandma Louise, I did her funeral a couple of years ago, and I learned some things I didn't know about her. She actually was a part of the ambulance squad that would drive onto the World War II battlefields after the battles were over, and she was a nurse on the battlefield, which I think is awesome. So I love having the L in my name now because I love to honor those two really cool lives, Lois and Louise. Names are a powerful thing. Proverbs says, a good name is more desirable than great riches. It is to be esteemed better than silver or gold. When people hear your name, certain thoughts come to their mind, right? Certain opinions, experiences they've had with you. And we all hope that they're good things, but that's really up for you to decide. In biblical times, names were very important. There would be a ceremony on the eighth day after a child was born, and they would present the baby to the community, and they would announce the name publicly. And a lot of times, the name would be a vision or a mission that the parent had set for their child. And when you look at the scriptures, The Bible has many, many, many names that communicate the many incredible, manifold nature of the character of Jesus. There are so many things that are said about the name of Jesus in the scripture, and I just want to read some of them to you this morning. I don't want you to write these down, but I just want you to kind of let them wash over you, because these are just some of the wonderful names used for Jesus. He's called Faithful. He's called the Eternal King, the Father of Compassion. He's called the God of Truth, the Helper of the Fatherless, the Holy One among you, the King of Glory, the Advocate, the Comforter, the Strong Tower, the Redeemer, the Rock of our Salvation, a Consuming Fire, the Strength of my Heart, and Almighty God. Friend, the names of Christ are like a diamond that you could hold up to the light, and with every turn of the wrist, a new and different and more beautiful beam of color is refracted back to you. I mean, we could spend centuries poring over the names of Jesus and we would only scratch the surface, because his names are powerful. His names communicate his glory, his character, who he is to you. And so over these next 4 weeks, as we discover the names of Jesus, I want you to let God speak to you in a powerful way. When God says in Isaiah chapter 9, his name shall be called, what he's saying is, these are the things that I want you to know about this gift that I'm giving to you. And so over the next 4 weeks, including Christmas Eve, we're going to look at these names one by one from the prophecy. Today we're going to look at Wonderful Counselor. Jesus is our Wonderful Counselor. Now, when you think of a counselor, you probably get this vision of like a sterile office with like a couch, and you pay somebody $90 and you lay down on the couch and you just pour out all your frustrations and they listen to you, right? In the Bible, a counselor is not just someone who listens to you, but it's someone who listens and offers wise advice. In other words, it's someone who really knows how to live. And so it's a person you should want to listen to. In my life, Ray Bowman is one of those guys. Ray is just a very wise guy. And so oftentimes, when I have practical life issues that I need help with, Ray's one of the first people I'll go to. If I need help fixing my car, if I need help any sort of electrical work, I'll just call Ray. And one of the things I love about him is not just that he tells me what to do, but he actually comes and he works with me and he shows me how to do it. I've learned a lot about how to be a man from Ray. I'm not getting very far, but I'm trying. And it's been awesome. But when you come to the counselor in the Bible, it's someone who shows you how to live. You see, in our culture, counseling gets a bad rap sometimes. If someone says to you, I'm in counseling for that, a lot of times you'll kind of give them the eye roll like, huh. Or you might classify them in your heart as needy or emotional or maybe even crazy. And we kind of write those people off. Sometimes it's seen as a form of weakness in our culture. But look at what the Bible says in Proverbs 12. The way of the fool seems right in his own eyes, but a wise man is he who listens to counsel. Here's why I want you to listen this morning. We live in a frenetic, fast-paced, busy world. And every person that you meet, every person you come across has something big going on in their life. Do you know that in America right now, the levels of anxiety and stress-related illnesses are at an all-time high? It's because people need counsel. They need help. They get stuck. They don't know where they're going. And you might be in here this morning, and you might be on the brink of a really big decision in your life. And God has some things he wants to speak to you. It might be this morning that you're in here and you know that it's time for you to make a move at your job. God has been speaking that to you for a while. You're unhappy. It's not working out. You need something to change. You're too busy and you don't really know what to do, and you need wisdom. You need counsel. You might be here this morning and God has placed a new calling on your life. And it's time for you this year to start taking some steps towards walking out that calling and listening to where he's been leading you over the past couple of years. And you need some wisdom. You need some guidance. Some of you are here this morning and you're battling a double life. Like when you come here, it's one thing, but when you leave, there are some secret addictions. There are some things you've never brought to the surface. And in order for you to go forward, you know it's time to bring it out in the open, but you don't know how to do it. Sometimes we need wisdom, not because of something that's good and something that's bad, but sometimes just for what's good and what's best. You know, I had lunch with a young man this week, and he's got a couple of career opportunities laid out before him, and he really needs help knowing what's the best way for me to listen to God and honor God with my life. It's not really what's right or wrong, it's just what's the best thing for me to choose. And some of you might be there this morning. You need wisdom. And here's what I want you to know. This is why I want you to listen. God does not want you operating on your own, making decisions in the dark. He wants you to have his discernment. He wants you to have his joy, his wisdom as you navigate your life. The Bible says he actually wants to fill you with the mind of Christ, that in all your decision-making, you would have Jesus' thoughts. You would have Jesus' discernment. You would have Jesus' wisdom. He's your wonderful counselor. You know that word wonderful in the scripture? It is a really beautiful word packed with meaning. And what I want to do this morning is I just want to extract some of its value for you, because there is a lot of meaning in that word wonderful. When the Bible calls Jesus a wonderful counselor, the first thing it means is that the wonderful counselor is a miraculous counselor. That word wonderful is the same word used throughout the Old Testament to describe the wonders and the miracles that God provided. Psalm 77 says, "You are the God who performs wonders. You display your power among the people." Friends, what I want you to know this morning is that God's counsel applied to your life can work wonders. You might be here thinking this morning, "I'm stuck, and it would take a miracle for me to get unstuck. I don't know what the next step is, and it would take a miracle for me to figure that out." And I want you to know this morning that God's wisdom can accomplish that, that it is supernaturally insightful, that it is a wisdom that is unlike anything else in this world, and the only place it comes from is Jesus Christ. And I just want to testify about his miraculous wisdom this morning. Friends, I've seen it do some powerful things. I've seen the wisdom of Jesus rebuild marriages that were torn apart by adultery and unfaithfulness. I've seen the wisdom of Jesus redeem victims of abuse and neglect into conquerors through the Spirit of Christ. I've seen the wisdom of Jesus restore parents to their children who were estranged because of bad decisions on both sides. I've seen the wisdom of Jesus rescue people from the grips of anxiety, rescue them from the pit of the enemy's lies so that they could be liberated by the freedom in Christ. The wisdom of Jesus is powerful. It works miraculous wonders in our life. And if you need wisdom this morning, I want you to lean into Jesus. I want you to come to him because he is a miraculous counselor. He still works wonders, and he can do that in your life today. The wonderful counselor is a miraculous counselor. Number two, the wonderful counselor is a faithful counselor. James 1:5 says, "If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. And he gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." The wisdom that I'm talking about this morning, I want you to hear me, the wisdom I'm talking about this morning is not a wisdom I deserve. It's a wisdom that was bought for me by the blood of Jesus. It's a wisdom that comes through the gospel of Jesus because he loves me, not because I've earned it. You know, I don't know about you, but when I need wisdom, most of the time it's because I've made a really stupid decision, right? Don't most of the time when we ask people for help, it's because we kind of made a mess. We've done something that's stupid, or we just kind of, you know, just really made a, maybe it wasn't even intentionally stupid, it's just, I just didn't do the right thing here and I need help. And I know God loves me and I know he forgives me, but it's still hard sometimes not to think that when I come for him, after I've made a mess, that he doesn't look at me and go, "Really? Now you want my wisdom?" Like angels, come check this out. Garmany blew it again, and now he has the audacity to ask me for help. But I love that phrase, without finding fault, because it promises me he'll never do that. He'll never look at me as someone who's blown it, who's unworthy, even though I am, because of what his son has done for me. Friend, the name Wonderful Counselor assumes that Jesus came for people with problems, doesn't it? Turn to your neighbor, say, if you didn't have problems, you wouldn't need a counselor. Raise your hand this morning if you got problems in your life. You got a problem marriage, problem child. Yeah, you got a yeah. Jackson. Problem child. You got a problem worry. Here's what I want you to know. If you got problems this morning, you're a prime candidate to receive his wisdom. He wants to meet you where you are. He's a faithful counselor. Jesus knows everything about you. Hear me. everything. He knows the things that you have been so desperately trying to hide, the things that you've been trying to piece together so hard on your own, and you're failing and you're not able to. And I want you to know today, you're not here on accident. It's not a coincidence that you're sitting in this room listening to God speak to you right now, but he actually wants to meet you here and pour his wisdom out on your life. All you have to do is ask. He's a faithful counselor. He's a miraculous counselor. And here's the third one. The wonderful counselor, are you ready? Is a hearty counselor. What about that, huh? Hearty. That word is a word we don't use very often, is it? That's a word that Charles Spurgeon used to describe the wonderful counselor that Jesus is. And I tried this week to think of a word that I could use, but I just really liked that word. So we're going to roll with hearty counselor. I want to read you what Charles Spurgeon said. This was really powerful for me this week. He says, it's one thing for someone to offer you advice on how to live. But when a man throws his whole soul into your case and says, dear friend, I'll do anything I can to help you. Let me look at it. There's power. Now, Christ is such a counselor as that. He's a hearty counselor. His interest and your interest are bound up together, and he is hearty with you. We go to Christ, and yes, we get wisdom, but we get love. We get sympathy. We get everything that could possibly be wanted in a counselor. Friend, that's the kind of counselor that Jesus is. Your interest and his interest are bound up together. Aren't you grateful this morning that we don't serve a God that just said, you know what, if you do this, then your life would be better? Aren't you grateful this morning that we serve a God that says, I'm going to come near to you by the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to walk with you through this? I'm not leaving you to figure it out on your own, but I actually want to go through it with you. I want to walk in this with you. Aren't you grateful this morning that there is no decision, no fear, no worry, no frustration that's too small for him to care about? But we serve a God who loves to get involved in the little details, who actually wants to teach you to walk by his Spirit so that daily you could live life in his presence. Daily, even the routine, mundane things, he wants to walk with you through. He's a God of even the smallest details. Isn't that what Christmas is all about anyway? Isn't it about God coming to be with us? You know, sometimes when you're hurting and you need wisdom, sometimes you don't really want advice. You just want someone to listen to you. Am I right? Husbands, how many of you have had this conversation? Your wife comes home and she has a problem at work and she starts talking about it and you're a fixer like me, so you just jump in and you're like, well, here's what you need to do. You should probably say this and you need to talk to this. And they look at you and they go, I don't really want you to fix it. I just want you to listen. How many of you ever had that before? Sometimes that's life, right? We need someone to listen, someone to hurt with us, someone to walk through the decision and feel with us. And aren't you grateful that Hebrews 4 says we don't have a high priest who's unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we got one who's been tempted in every way, just like we were, and he didn't sin. So we can come to God's grace, his throne of grace, with confidence and receive mercy and grace and help in our time of need. Praise God for that. He is a miraculous counselor. He's a faithful counselor. He's a hearty counselor. And you could come to him today. What I want to do with the last part of this message this morning is I want to ask, how can we benefit from God's wisdom? How can we position ourselves to receive wisdom from the wonderful counselor? And so I'm going to give you an acronym so that you can learn how to be wise this morning. If you want to experience God's wisdom in your life, the first thing is you've got to want it. You've got to desire it. And what do I mean by that? You've got to come to God, and we have to be willing to say, God, I want your counsel because I believe that that actually works. I believe that it could have a miraculous, life-changing, wonder-working impact on my life. If you're here this morning, you've got to resign as the chairman of the board on your own heart. Like, it's time to turn in the letter. It's time to say, my decision-making skills aren't cutting it. I need the wisdom of Jesus in my life, and that's what I want. Ask yourself this question this morning. Have you really decided that you want what God wants from your life more than you want your own way? You see, Wes makes fun of me for this all the time. I'll come to him for advice on like a sermon or a small group lesson or just life in general. And he'll talk, and sometimes I'm very used to his voice. And so he'll talk and give me a speech and, all right, cool. And then I leave and I go do my own thing anyways. And he comes down to me and sometimes he gets frustrated. He's like, why do you ask me for advice if you're just gonna do what you already had in mind anyway? And if I'm honest, I have to admit, sometimes I come to God for wisdom, but I'm really just hoping that it'll play out my way. And it won't work that way. I've got to yield to his will. I've got to say, God, I don't need it to play out the way I want it to play out. I just want your wisdom here, because I believe that what you have is what's best for me. You got to want it. Number two, you have to initiate it. To initiate something means you got to take a step. You've got to open up. You've got to be the one to kind of take a step forward. Any counselor that you see will tell you, any counselor worth his salt will tell you, I can only help you to the extent that you're being honest with me. In other words, I can only help you if you share what's really going on. And I want you to hear this morning, wisdom starts with being brutally and completely honest with your counselor. Friends, the healing light of God's wisdom will only reach the darkness that you expose it to. So we got to pull back the layers. We got to be honest. We can't hide things. We have to be willing to say, God, I want your light to come in. And so I'm going to open up here. I shared with you a couple weeks ago that I battled this summer through some anxiety and depression, and I missed some work because of that, and it was a pretty difficult season for me. And I got to admit, I hated bringing that out into the open. I hated sharing that with people because I felt like I was letting the staff down. I just felt like the weak link. I felt like I just wasn't what I should be. How could a pastor struggle like that? And I felt really ashamed of that. And so I want you to know from the stage that we understand the fear that comes with sharing what's going on in your soul. But I also promise you this. If you will expose that, you will be met with nothing but loving light here. Sadly, there are people in this room who are still afraid to bring their junk out because they're afraid that they're not going to be loved. Those are lies from the mouth of the enemy. He would love nothing more than to keep you in darkness. He would love nothing more than for the Spirit of God to be rejected in your life and for you to walk in darkness. But God's wisdom wants to shine a light on your life, to bring you into a place of healing and liberty and freedom. And that starts with bearing the soul, with opening up, with initiating that step. Here's the third thing. You got to want it. You have to initiate it. Number three, you have to seek it. If you want wisdom, you've got to seek it. You've got to seek it in his word and in his people. Friends, hear me. The word of God is dripping with wisdom for every single part of your life. Whatever you might be facing today, the word of God has wisdom that is beyond anything we could ask or imagine. Isaiah 55 says, "My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. My ways are higher than your ways." The word of God has a wisdom that is supernatural and that is powerful. If you need wisdom for your marriage this morning, the word of God has a wisdom for you that can produce real healing and real intimacy. If you need wisdom for your finances this morning, the word of God can make you wiser than Dave Ramsey himself. If you need wisdom this morning for your relationships, the word of God can bring restoration, power. If you need wisdom for self-worth, the word of God can fill you with a security in Christ that's matchless to anything this world offers. If you need wisdom for a social justice issue, the word of God shows you real justice, real righteousness, real mercy. If you want to see it, you just got to seek it. I found this scripture this week and I thought it really applied. Proverbs chapter 4 says, "Get wisdom. Though it cost all you have, get understanding." Here's how I interpret that verse. If you got to get up earlier to get wisdom, get up earlier. If you got to change jobs because your job makes you too busy for the Spirit of Christ, too busy to seek him, change jobs. If you got to unplug Wi-Fi and the internet in your house so that you can seek Jesus because you're addicted to Facebook, unplug the internet. If you got to get rid of the smartphone and get a dumb phone so that you can seek Jesus, get the dumb phone. If you have to cancel Netflix and Hulu and turn off the TV, do it. Seek Jesus. You can't afford not to. The wisdom of God has power. The wisdom of God has power, and you can seek it. You seek it in his word, and the second place you can seek it is in his people. I thought about his people this week. I thought about wise people in my life who minister to me, and this is a scripture that came to me. It's from James chapter 3. It says, "The wisdom of heaven," can we throw that scripture? Do we have that? the wisdom of heaven is first of all pure, it's peace-loving, it's considerate, it's submissive, it's full of mercy, full of good fruit, it's impartial, it's sincere. And I thought this week, you need to get around people that are like that. You need to get around people that are dripping that from their life. That everywhere they go, you're just like, that is Jesus. I need to be around people who are full of that. Here's another scripture that I found about the people who are wise. Wisdom is found among the aged. Young people, hear me this morning. You need to get some old friends. Here's a pro tip though. Don't tell them they're your old friends. They will not like that. They will hate that and they won't be your old friends much longer. You need to get some old friends. I got a lot of old friends. I won't name them for you because I'm wiser than that. But I'll let you decide whether or not you're my old friend or my middle-aged friend, whatever kind of friend you want to be. But I got a lot of older friends, people who encourage me and minister to me and speak into my life, people that I can't wait to be like spiritual grandparents to my kids, and people that love my marriage and minister to me and encourage me in some of the hardest, most darkest parts of my life. You need some older friends. You know why? Because they've been through parts of life that you haven't been through. They get on the other side of life and they go, that's really not as big as you think it is. I promise there's more. And you can't afford not to have that wisdom in your life. You need it. And God has provided it for you abundantly. You know, one of the things, counseling is not a bad thing. I think everybody should do some counseling. I'm a big fan of it. I think everybody's got probably some junk that's a little professional level, you know? But I do think it's sad that oftentimes people have to pay $90 and go to a room just to get some basic conversation. Somebody just to listen. Turn to your neighbor and say, that's what you're for. You're here to minister to me. You're here to counsel me. You're here to encourage me, to lift me up, and I'm here for that for you. The people of God give you wisdom. You gotta seek it there. Here's another word you could write down if you'd like. Write down the word plurality. The scripture says this in Proverbs. It says, where there is no wisdom, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but in abundance of counselors, there is safety. You need a lot of voices speaking into your life. You need all kinds of different people ministering to you. Young, old, your age, people that you don't agree with. Listen, if everybody you talk to agrees with you, I got some insight for you. Either A, they're lying to you, or B, they're just as blind to your blind spots as you are, and you need some wiser friends. You need a lot of voices, a lot of different people speaking into your life if you're gonna walk in God's wisdom. And praise God, he's provided that for you right in this room. It is right here for you to grab hold of. I do want to say this, though, about seeking him. Be careful seeking because the Bible promises that you'll find it. You know that? If you seek his wisdom for your finances, you just might find that God speaks to you and says, you've been stretching yourself a little too thin. It might be time to downsize before your family folds. If you seek him this morning for help coming out of this hidden life or this secret stuff that you have going on, you might find that he says to you, you're never going to have the marriage Jesus desires for you until you're willing to come clean. If you seek him this morning for some family issues, like you know you're about to see crazy Aunt Shirley at Christmas, and you know somebody has to speak to her and share the gospel with her and be kind to her, you might find that God says, I want you to do that. And guess what? Things might get worse before they get better. But here's what I promise you. If you'll seek him, what you will find is a wisdom and a joy that is unlike anything this world can give you. Friend, whatever risk the wisdom of God calls you to, the reward of knowing and experiencing Christ is far worth it. I promise you that. Here's the fourth thing. If you want to be wise, you've got to want it, you've got to initiate it, you've got to seek it. Number four, you've got to embrace it. J.D. Greer is an author that I like, a pastor in North Carolina. He wrote this. He said, in order to get wisdom from the wonderful counselor, you've got to put your yes on the table before you even ask the question. In other words, before I come to you asking for wisdom, I'm ready to obey whatever it is you ask me to do. You see, wisdom in the Bible is not just receiving advice. The Bible has no concept for someone who just knows what to do. It is knowing and doing. We've got to embrace it. So what do I mean by embrace it? Let's use exercise as an example. I think we all could agree with the statement, I need to exercise more, right? Not like me personally, but like we all would agree, I need to exercise more. When have I embraced that as a truth? Have I embraced it when I understand its importance? When I go, yeah, I know exercise is good for you. It makes my heart better. I feel better. I look a little better in my clothes. I feel good about myself. Yeah, I know exercise is good. Have I embraced it when I agree with it? Yes, I should exercise. I should do that more often. Have I embraced it when I buy the equipment that's necessary? Anybody else have any underutilized exercise equipment at their house? Yeah? Got a lot of Bibles around the house too, don't we? Sorry. Sorry about that. Have I embraced it when I have a schedule in place? When I know, like, okay, maybe I'll work out Monday through Friday. Hear me. Have I embraced it? If I work out once a week, then go out, eat lunch, and watch football all afternoon? No, I've embraced the wisdom of Jesus when his counsel becomes my lifestyle. When I want nothing more than to walk with him daily. And friend, I promise you, if you want to be wise and you embrace Jesus like that, his wisdom will come flooding into your life like a mighty river. I don't want to be all negative here. Embracing God's wisdom means welcoming it in. Do you joyfully look forward to the person God is making you into? Because I do, for you. When I think about this church and I think about the wisdom that God wants to pour out, I get so excited. I get excited about the marriages that God's wisdom will restore. I get excited about the futures that his counsel will set free from anxiety and worry and depression. I get really excited when I think about the dark secrets that his guidance will shine a liberating light on. I get really excited when I think about the peace that his admonition will accomplish. I know change can be scary. I know walking after God can be scary, but when you know the promise, Jeremiah 29:11, I know the plans I have for you. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. And God's not saying in that verse, I'm going to bless you with all kinds of things. No, he's saying, I know the person I'm creating you to be. I know the character I'm going to develop in you. I know the person that I've designed for you to become. And when you know that promise, any change, no matter how scary, awkward, weird, difficult it might be, becomes very exciting because of who God's going to make you into. Friend, embrace it. Grab hold of that wisdom. The Word and his people are full of it, and they are yours in abundance this morning. He's our wonderful counselor. You know, Christmas, as we close, is all about wisdom and wonder. The whole idea of Christmas is that God had to come into the world because the world doesn't have a wisdom or the resources to deal with its own problems. The wisdom of this world is so inadequate to deal with the problems that it has that God actually had to enter into the world so that he could work it out for us. And through his incarnation, his life on our behalf, his death and his resurrection, all of a sudden the world is put right. And I praise God for that. Because the scripture says that it was according to the wisdom of God that Christ was sent into the world. It was the wisdom of God that sent a baby to two poverty-stricken teenagers, a baby that the wisest men in the world would come to seek and to worship. It was the wisdom of God that invited shepherds who were overlooked and outcasted to come experience the presence of the gift in the manger. It was the wisdom of God that instructed Mary to wrap that baby in rags so that we could be wrapped up in his wisdom and in his glory. It was the wisdom of God that his baby boy would be rejected by the world so that we could be accepted as his sons and his daughters. For unto us a son is given. To us a child is born. He is for me. He's for you. He's our wonderful counselor. And if you need his wisdom this morning, cry out, seek it, embrace it, because he promises to give it. Let's pray. Father, we love you. And we bless you this morning for your kindness and for your joy. I bless you for the wisdom you pour out. God, it's my prayer that as people leave today, they would seek your wisdom like never before. Grab hold of a devotional packet as they leave. Grab a friend and just say, hey, here's what's going on in my life. Can you minister to me? Take some time tomorrow and today just to pray and seek your face. And Father, I pray that your wisdom would come flooding into their life like never before. You are a wonderful counselor, a counselor who works wonders in our life, a counselor who is faithful even when we blow it, a counselor that is hearty and present with us in all things. And we bless you for that. Father, receive this last song as a gift, a pleading for your mercy and for your wisdom. We love you, Jesus. It's in your name we pray. Amen. As the band leads us in this last song of worship, maybe you need some wisdom this morning. Maybe you need some counsel, some vision, some direction for your life. And I want you to know the Father's ready to give it. Wes said earlier in the book of Romans, God says, he gave us his son. Won't he give us everything else? So come to the altar this morning. Ask him for wisdom. There's no fear of people looking around. Ask him for direction and for vision as we worship.